السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He instills the love of this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah in our hearts, and He allows us to pass away on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. From the events that unfold around us, sometimes it's at a global level and sometimes it's at a local level, but an intelligent person is not one that gets news or sees or hears what's happening around him and he gets entertainment, he takes entertainment out of events that take place around him. But he is one, believer is one that is intelligent, and he takes a sabak. He takes a lesson from things that are happening around him. And the lesson that he takes is that events that are happening around me, that these events, what lesson are they teaching me? So recently we may have seen in our own country locally, the amount of people that had to just flee and leave behind whatever little that they may have had. And some people, they had nothing to take with, but they left in that condition. We had one person that was working as a guard at the site, construction site, and he decided to leave and go. So when he was asked that, what luggage do you have, what bag do you have, how much luggage do you have to load on, when he was being sent home, so he said, I don't have any luggage at all. The only thing he had was the clothes he wore and that beach tongs, that sandals that he had. Nothing else. And he was living in this condition. So therefore you realize when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the poor will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich, one of the things you appreciate is so little hisab kitab. A man who's got nothing besides his clothes, what hisab kitab he'll have to give? And people like me and you, that excess wealth that Allah has given us, we take that same excess wealth and we invest it in banks. Sometimes we invest it in haram. Sometimes we look for exotic destinations to go and spend that money in haram. Extra wealth Allah has given us, we put it in wrong places. Here people don't have anything and yet they're happy to go in this condition. First lesson that we learn, this is the lesson of qana'ah, to be happy. Person got nothing but yet he's smiling, he's happy, he's not complaining. Allah Pak has put me in this condition, I'm happy with whatever condition Allah Ta'ala has put me in. People that were serving and assisting, especially with the refugees, etc., they'll tell you how happy they were with one meal that they got. That meal made them so happy, it's as though they forgot all the problems of the world. So when a person has got contentment, he doesn't need big bank balances. He doesn't need much entertainment to keep him happy. That heart is happy. So one lesson that we take is that this life that we have, these events that are happening around us, today it's someone else, tomorrow it can be us. What is the lesson that we learn? The lesson is, don't take anything for granted. And things can change in a split second, whether it's my health, whether it's my wealth, whether it's my condition. At every given time I must see, am I in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi was saying a very nice thing. He said, either a man is in obedience of Allah and he's getting showered with the rahmat of Allah, or either he's in a disobedience of Allah and he's getting showered with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be from amongst those that are in the rahmat of Allah, in the mercy of Allah. In other words, they're doing everything that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one poor woman that had come to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and she was begging, and she made a story that I lost my child and I don't have kafan for the child, so please can you give me some money. So Hazrat Mufti Mahmud sahab rahmatullah alayhi took out 50 rupees. That time 50 rupees was a lot of money, and he gave it to this woman. So the people around him, they asked him that, Hazrat, do you know and we know that this lady is making up a story, like many of the beggars, they make up some stories that sounds very sad, appealing. How come, despite you knowing that this lady is making up a story, you still gave her that money? He said, the thought came to my mind that Allah could have put me in that person's position, and Allah could have put her in my position. I made shukr to Allah, and bitore shukr, on account of shukr to Allah, I took out his money and I gave it to her. That, oh Allah, you didn't put me in that position. So when the sabak that we take, the lesson that we take when we see all these things happening, is the lesson of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, it could have been me, I could have been in that position, so I shouldn't be proud and arrogant and feel confident of myself, this is only your doing. So when a person has that type of heart, that type of mindset, instead of being arrogant, a person now wants to be happy to assist poor people. Person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would actually make this dua, that Allahumma ahyini miskina, wa amitni miskina, وَحْشُرْنِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعَ زُمُرَةِ الْمَسَاكِينَ. That, oh Allah, allow me to live as a poor person. Allahumma ahyini miskina. Allah, allow me to live as a poor person. In other words, as a person with the poor people. And, oh Allah, allow me to die as a poor person. Be with these people, poor people, allow me. In other words, it's not something to look down upon a person that is poor, a person that is a refugee, a person. It's not something to look down upon. Sometimes we've got to look at the qualities that these great people have. This looking down about the person, this all nationalism that came later on. We are ummah as believers, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. We all are brothers in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, raise me up on the day of Qiyamah with the poor people. So this is some lesson that we take. First lesson. Another lesson that we take around when we see so many things happening, and sometimes we see people passing away, etc., is that life is uncertain. There's no guarantee of life. No person should feel that I'm young, I still got a very long way to go. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. That there are two blessings, there are two ni'mats, that many people are duped, they are deceived by virtue of these two ni'mats. And what are these two blessings, these two ni'mats, that people get deceived by? People think that these ni'mats will continue forever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. The first ni'mat is good health. When a man has got good health, he thinks that his good health will continue forever. If he's young and he's healthy, he feels that that strength, that willpower, that ability that he's got, that will continue forever. So when he's told that make tayari for maut, prepare for maut, in his mind he's thinking that when I get old and I get sickly, then I will start worrying about my will. Then I'll start worrying about getting my affairs in order. Then I'll start worrying about my salah and my zakat and my fasting. Now I still got a long way to go. So this is the first thing that deceives people, is as-siha, this good health. Good health is something, remember, it's there with us now. We must appreciate it, look after it, but don't take it for granted. How often you find that a person who's healthy and he's fit goes to a doctor and suddenly this person is now diagnosed with cancer. A person is healthy and the person gets a stroke. A person is healthy and he suddenly gets a heart attack. A person is healthy and suddenly he meets up with an accident. Remember, age is only a number. That is all. Age is number. It's no guarantee for anything. No person should ever feel that he is going to live forever. Once our Ustad has Mufti Sahib, he had a habit of reading Quran Sharif and building up his Sajda-i-Tilawat. When a person reads an ayat of Sajda, then he must make one Sajda. So he had a habit of building it up, and when it came to about 20 or 30, then he would make all the Sajda-i-Tilawat. So he asked his Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Grand Mufti of India. He asked him, is it okay if I build it up like this? In other words, I build it up to 20, 30, and then I make all my sajdas one time. So he says, he gave me one answer, only one answer. He said, kya maut ka koi barosa hai? Do you have any guarantee of life? Do you have any guarantee of death that you can just build it up like this and think that you live to see the day where you can do all 20 sajdas one time? When the time comes, do it immediately. That's why it is a famous Urdu saying, aaj ka kaam, aaj karna hai. That today's work, do it today, don't leave it for tomorrow. You don't know if you'll see tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. So a person should never ever be guaranteed or never ever feel confident that I got good health and this good health will remain forever. Allah Ta'ala wishes he can change that condition overnight. And remember, you don't need a strong reason for a person to get sick. You don't need a strong excuse for a person to die. A person doesn't need it. Under this ayat of the Quran Sharif which I read, إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجِ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. We mentioned the incident, the last bayan, but just as a refresher, that Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Alayhi, he mentions one incident. The ayat of Quran translates that anywhere you may be, wherever you may be, يدرككم الموت, موت will find you. ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة, even you, if you are in high fortified towers, maybe the Home Affairs won't find you there, the police won't find you there, but Malak al-Maut will find you there. So you can hide from everyone else, you'll never be able to hide from Malak al-Maut. From the angel of death, you'll never hide. So Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions one incident, that there was a woman that was about to give birth, and she sent, this was in the previous times, so she sent her assistant, a helper, to go out and get some firewood, or get some fire and come, because those days they used fire to keep themselves warm, etc. So when he went out, and he met someone there, and this person asked him, that this woman, she just had given birth, what did she give birth to? So he said, he gave baby girl. So he said that this girl will commit zina 100 times in her life, and she will pass away as a result of a spider. So he thought to himself as the assistant, why let this woman go through all that difficulty when she grows up, commit so much of guna, so much of sin, let me just finish her life off now and that will be the end of the story. So what he does, this assistant, the slave, he comes back in and he pokes that baby in the abdomen. He stabs her. Now this is a very strong excuse for the child to die and pass away. So he saw that this child now was stabbed in the abdomen. He fled from there and he ran away. He went to another place, another country. He fled the country, as we would say. So this mother, a mother is a mother. Remember, a mother will always remain a mother. She'll do everything she can to save the child, even if a mother has to give her own life away. So the mother saw this, so immediately she tried and she stitched that baby, assisted the baby. Allah Ta'ala wished for that baby to live, that baby lived. And she grew up to be the most beautiful woman in that town. Allah Ta'ala made it such. And now because of the beauty she had, etc., she got involved in quite a few zinas. Remember, this person said that she'll commit zina 100 times. So anyway, this man that had fled the country, he went overseas and he worked and he worked and he worked himself up. And he acquired a lot of money. And he decided, let me go back to my hometown that I lived many years ago, and I will get married there. So when he comes back, he meets an old woman from there. He says, I want to get married to the most beautiful woman of this town. So she suggested this woman here. So he was happy. He said, okay, he'll get married. He proposed to her. She accepted. He had a lot of money. So when he met her and he explained his story, he said, you see, I was from this town before, and I stabbed one baby girl in her abdomen, and I fled. And now after many years, I had come back. So this woman tells him that I was that same baby girl that you stabbed many years ago, and she shows him the scar. So anyway, he had a lot of love for her. Now he married her, he had a lot of love for her. So what he did was, he built a palace. And he built a palace such that it was spick, it was span, it was clean. It didn't allow for any spider webs at all. Why? Because in his mind he knew, and he told also, that you will die as a result of a spider. And he also told her that, I was told that you'll commit zina 100 times. So she admitted that many times I committed, but I don't know the number. He said, no, it is 100 times. Anyway, moving on with this incident, a day came when she saw a spider on the top of the wall, by the roof. So she said, was this the spider that you kept warning me about? Today I will kill that spider. So she drops the spider down and she tramps it with her foot. Allah Ta'ala had made it such that the poison from there had penetrated into her, and she, as a result of that spider, she day after passed away. Now the same girl was stabbed as a baby. Allah wanted that excuse to be such that she doesn't pass away. The excuse of a stab didn't cause her to pass away, but the excuse of a spider was what resulted in her death. So therefore, death doesn't need a strong excuse. Sometimes you'll find a person that has got diabetes, and he's got cholesterol, and he's got heart problem, and he's got lung problem, and he's got all types of problem, cancer, but yet Allah Ta'ala is allowing him to live very long. And sometimes you hear of a healthy, fit person that was training, a person that was well-to-do, no idea of any type of sickness passing anyone's mind about this person. Suddenly you hear this person passes away. So maut doesn't need a strong excuse. What should an intelligent person do when he knows this? So the first thing I was mentioning was the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sihatu, good health deceives many people. They think this good health will remain forever. And the next thing is al-faragh. Al-faragh is free time. When a person has got free time, he thinks that I'll have this free time all along. He doesn't realize that sometimes certain things will come upon him, certain problems, worries, concerns, Sometimes it's even health problems that may come upon him. Sometimes it's wealth problems. Sometimes it's family problems. Sometimes staff problems. Whatever it may be, there will be things that will take away your free time. Don't assume free time will last forever. There's one saying of one person when he reached old age. He reached old age, poet. So he made the saying that he said, "Layta shababa ya'udu yoman fa ukhbirtuhu bima fa'ala al-mashibu." That how I wish that youth can come back for one day. How I wish my youth can come back for one day. I'll inform youth what old age did to me. Because when I was young, I thought I'll leave my namaz. Never mind, the namaz I'll read 5 times a day in a masjid. When I get old, now I'm busy making money. Now I'm busy with my business. Now I'm busy with other things, with enjoyment and fun and my holidays. Old age, I'll sort everything out. So he says, how I wish I can inform youth. I can get a chance to inform youth what old age did to me, because I was deceived by thinking when I reach old age, this is what I can do. A person's willpower also drops. So therefore, some things, this is in a few minutes, some of the things that we should keep in mind, that we ourselves don't know when maut will come to us. Maut can come to anybody at any time. Intelligent person is one who prepares, who makes tayari for maut. There was once a discussion of many pious people that were sitting together. Some were muhaddithin, some were fuqaha, some were just pious people. They were sitting and having a discussion. Pious people's discussion is not what the cricket score, soccer score, World Cup. Their discussion was, how would you wish your last day of your life to be? How would you like to spend the last day of your life? So every person gave a different suggestion. Some said that I would like to spend on the poor. Some said I would like to spend it in salah. Some said I would like to be spending it in tilawat of Quran Sharif. Others said I would like to be fasting. Someone said maybe Friday. Different opinions came how they would like to spend. There was one young person that was asked, how would you like your last day of your life to be spent? So he said, I would like the last day of my life to be spent like how I spend every day. In other words, I spend every day like every day is my last day. So if Malak al-Maut comes, there's no regret suddenly that why I didn't spend this day correctly. So this is an intelligent person, a person who keeps maut in front of him. He's always cognizant that maut, the death can hit me at any time. So some things just to keep in mind. First thing, from a spiritual side, some things we have to keep in mind is let us get all our qaza salats up to date. It should never be such that we are going in the qabr and our qaza salats are not made, or we haven't attempted to start to make all those qaza salats. Those fasts that we may have not kept when we were young, we overlooked the month of Ramadan, we took it to be casual. Now is a chance. We start it. Allah Ta'ala will make it such that Allah Ta'ala will complete. In other words, Allah will give us, hopefully on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will reward us as though we have completed it. Not to say that a person should leave it, but at least make a start. There's hope that Allah saw this man trying. Inshallah, Allah will reward him as though he was from those people that fought Qiyamah. So anyway, our fasting we get in order. If we are owing people money, this concept that many people got, that I got an invoice sitting on my table, I'll pay it end of the month. End of the month I make payments. This is not a concept of a believer. If that invoice is on my table today, I must pay it today. So that if I die today, I don't owe anybody any money. I got the money, Allah has given it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Matalul ghaniyyi dhulmun." That person who's got the ability to pay and he's delaying, unnecessarily waiting end of the month, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and he's got the ability to pay, this is zulm, this is an oppression. Why must we wait? If I got the ability, pay my debts now. If I die today, I'm owing no one any money. So this is the next thing we do. We ensure that we pay all our debts. The other thing is, if you got any relationship issues with family, for any personal matters, it may be an argument, a dispute, sort it out before we go into the qabr. Allah Ta'ala should not make it be such that two family brothers are not speaking because of some wealth dispute. People are not talking to each other, father and son, mother and daughter are not speaking to each other because of some personal petty dispute. The other thing we should do is keep our wills. This is something that is very important. Our Islamic will, keep it and have it there and keep it with somebody that we trust. Let them know that this is my Islamic will. How often you find people pass away and there's no Islamic will? It creates all sorts of problems. Inshallah, at another occasion, we'll speak about wills in details and the importance of wills, but keep an Islamic will somewhere where somebody knows. And the other thing that's very important is our banking accounts, our details, our assets, etc. Someone we trust, let them know about it. Very often a person passes away, the wife is there, she doesn't even know how to put money into the prepaid electricity meter. Now the night comes, or few days pass, there is no lights in that house. But she was never told, husband did everything and suddenly he passed away. So simple things like usernames, passwords, electricity meter numbers, let the family know, let the people know, there's a copy of my ID, this is where I'm keeping my ID. So when the person passes away, the people that are helping with the funeral, now they don't have to start waiting. We don't know where this person got no ID, what do we do? Everything becomes easy, it becomes smooth sailing. Then you'll find also, it often happens, that there are fictitious debts, etc., that are made upon a person that has passed away. But a man that made tayari, he told his family, these are the people that I'm owing money to, these are the funds that I have. Try and ensure, this is how Sahaba would do it, that they would ensure that they would make wasiyah that everything must be in order. That before I pass away, everything of mine must be in order. So this is, and remember when we go, so inshallah we'll have another topic and we'll speak about in detail, how a person prepares from a financial perspective as far as his death is concerned. But some of the things that we must remember is that people won't remember us for our money. Remember that. Our money, people won't remember us. Sabtaat para reh jayega. Jab ka chalega banjara. All that pomp and that cars and that entertainment and the glitz and the glamour that the man enjoyed because of his wealth. The poet says, when that bier, when that janaza, when it reaches the kabristan, jab ka chalega banjara, everything finishes there. In English, there's a saying that the game isn't over until the fat lady sings. Yeah, until the janaza reaches that kabristan. Everything, all that pomp, people are not going to, they're not interested in a man's wealth, in a person's bank balances, in what he had, is how we treated people, how we worked with people, how we helped, how we assisted. In this last week, we lost one musalli of ours, may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, just to mention some qualities of his that he had, so that we can also take a sabak from there. That when we were setting up this place and we were assisting, as far as the masjid, or we were starting with the masjid, he volunteered his assistance on a few occasions. He said that I'm a builder, I wish to assist in any way I can, let me know. So alhamdulillah, those brothers that made some effort and made some fikr for this place, Abu Haji Salim and others, many people came and they assisted. So he assembled this floor that we hear. Under the carpets, you get underfelt, and under the underfelt, you get shutterboard and you get pellets. So he assembled this whole place. He got a few of his assistants, helpers, and he assembled everything. And just in the one few days before he passed away, there were some places where it was creaking and it needed to be changed. He came himself, he opened up all the carpets, he changed everything and he put. Now imagine, a simple thing. You don't need, people think that to give sadaqah and charity, I need wealth. One of the ways of getting, of achieving charity is assisting in whichever way you can, even if it's with skill. So he came and he opened up the flooring, he changed those pellets, he changed the boards, etc. He came and put it back. He said, now this thing looks like it's sorted out, it's fixed up. So alhamdulillah. Now imagine, where is he buried? He's buried in Browns Avenue, Khabrustan. And where are we reading Salah? We are reading in Reynolds Road. But Allah Ta'ala makes it such that every person that will be reading Salah here now, he'll be getting a reward. Why? He made effort on the flooring. Can you imagine? Whilst people are sitting and listening to the bayan, he'll be getting a reward. So it's as though there's a stream that has opened up from here, right up to Browns Avenue, and the man is earning income with simple, how I can assist you. You see all that shade cloth that's there when you're going past the construction site, he put up all the shade cloth. So like that, whatever little we can assist and we can help, people will remember us for the good that we do. It's not about how arrogant and how proud we are, but how simple and in whichever way we can touch people and assist people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that people will remember us when, in, at a time when we need the sawab the most. My time has expired. So the crux of today's talk is, life is uncertain. We don't know when mort can come. It can hit anybody, anytime. Let us be intelligent and prepare for death before that moment comes. And when that moment comes, in the words of Hazrat Mawla Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, it is more enjoyable than 1,000 Eids put together. The day of Eid come, how everyone is meeting everyone, happy, excited. For a mu'min that prepared for death, when death comes, the enjoyment that he experiences cannot be explained. More than 1,000 Eids put together is this moment that I was preparing to meet my Allah and I'm meeting my Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of preparing for that and being ready for that. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.